Can do the housekeeping. So I'm going to call the April 7th Planning and Zoning meeting to order. Mr. Zenner, are there any adjustments, additions to the agenda?
Yes, there are, ma'am. Case number 109-22, which you have a handout in front of you at your seats. There is a request to table that case, so that'll be handled after the approval of the minutes.
Thank you for pointing that out. Okay.
Move to approve the agenda.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Galway-Jones, seconded by Commissioner McMahon. I'll take a thumbs up approval on the agenda. We have 8-4 and 1 abstention. Everyone should have received a copy of the March... Oh, I'm sorry. Call to order.
Attendance.
Yeah. This is what attendance. Happens when you don't have our computers ready, Pat.
Okay. Commissioner Galway-Jones?
Here.
Commissioner Placer?
Here.
Commissioner Kimball?
Here.
I'm here. Commissioner Lowe?
Here.
Commissioner Stanton?
Present.
Commissioner Burns?
Here.
Commissioner Rushing?
Here.
We have 9. We have a quorum.
Thank you, Commissioner Carroll. All right, we've done the agenda minutes. Everyone should have received a copy of the March 24th, 2022 regular meeting minutes. Were there any additions, changes to those meeting minutes?
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Galway-Jones, seconded by Commissioner McMahon. I'll take a thumbs up approval on the minutes. Unanimous. Thank you. All right, that brings us to our first business of the evening, which is tabling. Case 109-2022, a request by Crockett Engineering on behalf of Lion Crest Properties LLC, is seeking approval of a major amendment to the Cotswold Villas at Bluff Creek Estates PD plan and a design adjustment to section 29-5.1 of the UDC relating to development access. The proposed revision will rename the existing PD plan to PD plan development of Bluff Creek Estates, plat number 8, and includes proposed revisions that modify the previously approved lot arrangement and internal roadway network. The proposed revision contains a total of 39 single-family lots and is consistent with the prior plan approval. This was a publicly advertised case. So any staff comments on the tabling?
The tabling request is been asked for by Lion Crest LLC. They are the owners of the property. It has been submitted such that they may be able to have interaction with the adjoining neighborhood association to engage and address particular concerns that have been expressed, which were provided to you through public correspondence earlier this week. The request for the extended tabling to June 9 is due to some previously scheduled time away from town, and therefore that best meets their schedule to be able to be back and present for the Planning Commission's consideration. Staff does not object to the request of tabling. We will re-advertise, given that the initial public hearing date to the table date is greater than 2 months. So pursuant to our procedural requirements, we will re-advertise in the paper. Property owners will be notified of the updated public hearing date. And there will also, depending on the outcome of the meeting with the adjoining neighborhood association, maybe revisions to the currently published Planning and Zoning Commission report that will reflect updates based upon any discussion and modifications that the applicant is desiring to make based on the communication that they are going to engage in. So With that, we would make a recommendation that the tabling request be approved. As you pointed out, this was an advertised public hearing, and if there are individuals in the public that have come down to City Hall this evening, they are more than welcome to approach. However, we are not prepared to make a presentation as it relates to the content of the staff report, and the discussion would generally be limited to the tabling request or not.
Thank you, Mr. Zenner. Any questions of staff before we open up the public hearing? Mr. McMahon.
Just real quick. Thank you, Madam Chair. We might have to table this again is what it sounds like. There's a lot of back and forth. Or do we don't even know that if we have changes.
At this point, we are aware of a couple of modifications to the statement of intent, which is basically a carry forward from the 2016 statement of intent. We are unaware of any additional plan revisions. However, given that this is a month between this hearing, a little bit over a month between this hearing and the proposed scheduled public hearing, I don't believe that there will be any delay. The review of this project was completed, and the project was being recommended for approval along with the design adjustment. So there are no technical issues with the plat. I can't imagine that the changes that would be made if they are, other than the statement of intent, I don't see major changes possibly in the site plan that would require full re-review, which would then result in an additional delay.
My concern was if you're gonna meet with the neighbors again, we just don't know what's going on there. That said, thank you, Mr. Zenner.
Any additional questions for staff? Seeing none, we will open up the floor to public comment. If anyone is here to provide public comment, it would just be on the tabling tonight. Seeing none, we will close public comment on this case. Commission comment. Mr. McMahon.
Seeing no other comments or concerns, I have a motion. In the matter of case 1092022, request by Crockett Engineering on behalf of Lion Crest LLC, request a table, I move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Mr. McMahon, seconded by Commissioner Galway Jones. We have a motion on the floor. Any discussion on this motion? Seeing none, Commissioner Carroll, may we have roll call, please?
Commissioner Galway Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Placer?
Yes.
Commissioner Kimball?
Yes.
My vote is yes. Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
Commissioner Burns?
Yes.
Commissioner Rushing?
Yes.
Commissioner McMahon?
Yes.
We have nine votes to approve. The motion to table carries.
Thank you, Commissioner Carroll. Recommendation for tabling is supported. That brings us to our subdivisions for the evening. Our first case is case 111-2022, a request by a civil group on behalf of Green Meadows Property, LLC, for approval of a three-lot final plat to be known as Quail Creek West Plat 7. The 0.81-acre parcel is located on the southeast corner of the intersection of Smith Drive and Louisville Drive. May we have a staff report, please?
Yes, you may. Thank you, Madam Chair. Real quick on the public notice, public info postcards were sent to 11 adjoining property owners on the 14th of March. Here's our oblique aerial view. As you can see, the large disturbed area is the Breckenridge neighborhood, currently under development there. And again, this is at the southeast corner of Smith Drive and Louisville Drive, Louisville being the kind of curvy, snaking street here that's generally north and south there. You can see Louisville Park is immediately adjacent to the south of our subject site. And then a future case, I believe, at the next meeting, you might see on our later slides tonight, we'll be on the other side of Louisville there, where you see the lake here. I think there's a, is that a prelim plat on that? We'll see. So the plat here is trying to establish three single-family lots. The lots are zoned R1. Both frontages are neighborhood collectors, which presents a little bit of an issue with access because residential driveways are restricted from collector roadways. However, the code does give the Director of Community Development discretion to administratively approve access on a neighborhood collector, given there's no other feasible means of access. And in this case, Mr. Teddy did grant that approval for Louisville Drive, as Smith is seen as probably a higher level of roadway for the future, but at the moment it's a neighborhood collector. The idea eventually, I believe, is that it would connect further to the west, but that is yet to be seen and is not on the CATSO plan at this time. But so in that vein with the streets, right-of-way is rededicated for Smith Drive. I say rededicated, is actually street easement initially there on the north side. You can see this large rectangle area was initially street easement, and they're rededicating it as right-of-way along with the reworked corner truncation, which gets us in line with the existing Louisville Drive right-of-way, which of which there is a sufficient amount width there. Sidewalks were actually constructed along with the roadways when those came through, so those are in place. Standard utility easement of 10 feet is provided on both of the frontages. One unique situation on this plat is that sewer is planned to be provided along the eastern boundary, so at the rear of the lots. And so therefore, an additional utility easement wraps around from the street frontage on the south southwest corner on Louisville. It wraps around the south property boundary and up the east property boundary to serve all three lots. So you can kind of make that out on the plat there. And with that, that's all we have for this. So our recommendation would be approval of Quail Creek West Plat 7 pursuant to minor technical corrections. And those technical corrections are one, to clarify a note regarding the lot access, just stating that Mr. Teddy has approved that access, as I stated in the code, and then a couple of technical comments by our city surveyor. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions for you.
Thank you, Mr. Palmer. Before we move on to questions for staff, I'd like to ask any commissioner who has had any ex parte related to this case to please share that with the commission at this time, so all commissioners have the benefit of the same information on the case in front of us. Seeing none, are there any questions for staff? No questions. With that, we will open up the floor to public comment. If anyone does have any public comment on this case, you are invited to come forward. We would need your name and address for the record. I see none. We will close public comment. Commission comment. Mr. McMahon.
As long as my fellow commissioners have no comments or concerns, I have a motion.
I have a
yes, ma'am.
Question, I guess. This is actually it is a question for staff, Mr. Palmer. So I was curious with regard to, this is the only north-south connector west of major north-south connector at this location for, I don't have the map pulled up to me, but that there's no other through street east of this for some distance, which is the next one that goes through.
Well, the next one that immediately comes to mind is Scott. You're west of Scott Boulevard here. I believe that's...
I don't think there's one between
Scott, I don't think that's...
Louisville. And given the topography, this is the only other connector. So it is a collector.
Yes.
Yeah, as you say. So, and as you point out, there's the requirement that private residential driveways are prohibited on collector streets, and that this has been given the alternative. I was interested in the next item, which only applies to non-residential driveways, but it raises the issue of distance of driveways from intersections, because these driveways are starting to get pretty close to an intersection of two major collectors. So I looked up the Missouri Department of Transportation Access Management Guidelines, and these three driveways are well within that distance back that they require. Was the staff have any comment on that?
There is a note on the plat pertaining to the southern lot, and I forget exactly the genesis of that, but the southern lot would be limited to the southern 40 feet, I believe, of the lot. It's the northern lot cannot be outside of the southern 40 feet of the lot. So it'd have to be, you know, whatever the distance there is. So it'd have to be in the southwest corner of lot.
And
103 or whatever, the northern lot there.
So the genesis of the comment was after consultation with the city's traffic engineer and Mr. Teddy and his authority. Given that there, in Mr. Teddy's opinion, there was no other alternative to provide reasonable access to these lots other than what was along Louisville, the traffic engineer, in application of the standards that you're referring to, which we have not adopted as the city's access management requirements, determined that a driveway no closer than the southern 40 feet of the property of lot 703 was acceptable and would meet our general requirements based on the anticipated traffic flow. There was a long, arduous conversation about these lots even being able to be created in this configuration. So to assure you that this was just not glossed over. There was contemplation as to where the driveways needed to go. Did the driveways need to be shared? We did an analysis of the number of driveways that are on this road, that are inside the city, those that are in this county. And our staff, the traffic engineer and Mr. Teddy, concluded after that analysis that what these three lots with the restriction on the northernmost lot closest to the intersection was the best situation possible for each lot to have their own individual access, given shared driveways create their own set of unique challenges for detached residential housing.
Also, when I considered if there could be a shared drive, I mean, I was looking at if the two southern lots were reoriented north-south and you did a shared driveway for all three, that would place the shared driveway as the one closest to the intersection. And I wasn't sure how much we would be gaining with that, but thank you, Mr. Zenner. Commissioner McMahon.
Thank you very much. Just real quick, Mr. Zenner, there's no street parking on Louisville, is there?
To my recollection, I don't believe there is. I don't, on a collector, we typically would only allow you to do street parking. We would allow you to park up both sides. I believe there is no parking I believe there are no parking signs actually in front of the park.
That would be, thank you, Mr. Zenner. Madam Chair, to your point, because we actually went through this when we were talking about the other developments in the code. Thank you for the catch, by the way, because I didn't think about the distance. I would be comfortless as long as there was no parking along the front of those lots, because this is, I used to spend a lot of time over there. Half, two-thirds a day, there's no traffic, and then it's really busy, particularly Smith. Mr. Zenner or Ms. Thompson, could we add the stipulation that there be no parking in front of these lots in case there it's allowed currently? Ms. Thompson has a pained look on her face.
I would have to. I think we can communicate the desire with the traffic engineers.
It was just a matter of putting the signage up.
That's where I was going with my hesitated comment. This is a 38-foot curb and gutter street. This is the old model of collectors, which allowed parking on both sides.
And I think it's fine right now, but when Breckenridge is fully built out and it's built out further to the west or we cross the creek,
yep,
then we have a whole
different traffic environment.
Yeah.
I think we can, to condition the approval of this plat on that, which is really a traffic engineering issue more so, I would not advise that. I think what we can do is take the comment and the recommendation that the commission to Mr. Stone and ask that they evaluate that at this point. Given the intersection, and as Ms. Lowe's pointed out, as we come to the intersection of Smith, we are going to want to assure that we do not have vehicles stacked up to the intersection. And with that in mind, I'm not quite sure that actually is probably not already in that contemplative mode.
If you could pass that along to Streets and Roads, that would be awesome. And I will keep that out and trust for Mr. Stone's the head of that department. Trust that Mr. Stone will do his job dutifully. Madam Chair, if we have no more questions in the matter of case, what am I looking at? Oh, 111-2022, final plat for Quail Creek West, plat 7. I move to approve.
Second.
With the following, I'm sorry, Mr. Stanton, I apologize. With the addition of technical comments by the surveyor and the attachment of the clarifying note regarding lot access, the approval by Mr. Teddy, I move to approve. Mr. Stanton.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner McMahon, seconded by Commissioner Stanton. We have a motion on the floor. Any discussion on this motion? I see none. Commissioner Carroll, may we have roll call, please?
Commissioner Galway-Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Placer?
Yes.
Commissioner Kimball?
Yes.
My vote is yes. Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
Commissioner Burns?
Yes.
Commissioner Rushing?
Yes.
Commissioner McMahon?
Yes.
We have 9 votes to approve. The motion carries.
Thank you. Recommendation for approval will be forwarded to City Council. That brings us to our second subdivision case for the evening, case 116-2022. A request by Lubert Engineering on behalf of D&D Investment of Columbia, LLC, for revised preliminary plat on their property located near the intersection of Lake of the Woods and Geyser Boulevard, to be known as Forest Hills Plat 3. Revisions include a modified street layout and additional lots at the southeast corner of the parcel, further subdividing lot 94 of the approved preliminary plat, Forest Hills plat number 1. May we have a staff report, please?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Again, on the public info postcards, they were also sent on the 14th of March, and in this instance, there were 40 of them. So here's our aerial view. You see the large rectangular kind of open space here that's undeveloped. This is a little older photo, and you see this kind of ghosted in line. That's actually the extension of Geyser. over to Lake of the Woods. And much of the property west of here has been developed, and I believe the strip to the north has also been developed at this point. But the affected area for this revision is just the area in the red, and it's all part of the same original preliminary plat, which you'll see in a moment. And I'll just jump into that. So as you can see, the subject area is the southeast corner. Again, lot 94 is shown here. It's basically the homestead lot. There was an existing house on this. And at this point, they're wishing to further subdivide that. And again, it's an additional 15 lots that were contemplated along with this. But at the time of the preliminary plat here, which I believe was 2006, that was not, I don't believe it was under ownership by the developer at the time. So this here, outlined in black, is our new plat, and it shows how things are changing. If you need me to, I can jump back and forth, but you'll notice, obviously, lot 94 is now shown and subdivided into those lots with kind of a loop street or a square with an eyebrow, and then also access to the south left as a stub. And then I'm forgetting the name of the street. Royal Plum Drive was connected through this area and now is capped off in two cul-de-sac bulbs. The reason for that being in this location, there's a significant drainage area, wetlands, that is actually now protected by provisions of our code and do not permit development in that area. This common lot that is now there on this revised prelim extends around the corner of this other development lot and encompasses another drainage area there, and it is intended for use for detention and stormwater management. Here's a little bit larger view of the revised portion of the plat. This totals 8.17 acres, so the larger site being 34 acres. Again, Royal Plum is disconnected in that area, and as such, it had to be renamed. Royal Plum stays in this location. However, it becomes Royal Plum Circle, or Court, I'm sorry, at that point. And then we have the new streets obviously named in there as well, and I cannot rattle those off the top of my head, but they're on the plat there. Again, common lots created, and then lot 94 is subdivided further, so we've touched that. There is sufficient right-of-way depicted on the prelim for all of the associated roadways. The appropriate standard utility easements are provided along with the appropriate stormwater easements for those drainage channels and wetlands, and sidewalks are depicted in all the appropriate locations. So the preliminary plat meets all of the requirements of the UDC except for a few minor issues with some outstanding comments by the planning department and law department. And so therefore our recommendation would be for approval of Forest Hills Plat 3 preliminary plat pursuant to those minor technical corrections. And I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Palmer. Before we move on to questions of staff, I'd like to ask any commissioner who has had any ex parte related to this case to please share that with the commission at this time so all commissioners have the benefit of the same information on the case in front of us. None. Are there any questions for staff? Ms. Carroll.
Thanks, Rusty. I thought that we weren't doing cul-de-sac anymore. I thought that the fire department had preferred hammerhead turnarounds to cul-de-sacs.
The standard is still a cul-de-sac. We have had a number of hammerhead options used lately because partially because of an increased diameter needed in those cul-de-sac bulbs. But yeah, the standard is actually still the cul-de-sac.
Okay, so this has enough diameter in that case, so you would stick with that if there's, okay.
Yep.
Commissioner McMahon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Commissioner Carroll, because that was one of the two questions I was going to ask. Mr. Palmer, could I see the oblique aerial again, please? Just a technical question, and I'm sure we've done it. The common lot set aside for the wetlands and drainage areas encompasses all of those areas? There's none of that running into occupied lots or lots that will be?
No. It's all encompassed by the common lot.
All right. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Any additional questions of staff? Seeing none, we will open up the floor to public comment. Please give your name and address for the record.
My name is Christina Lubert, 304 Travis Court in Jefferson City. I represent the developers, and one really minor comment about you asked about the cul-de-sacs. Because of the limitations of the room based on some of the original design back in the early 2000s, a larger diameter was actually not feasible. But those cul-de-sacs are within the short distance that's allowed for you to be able to back a fire truck back onto an adjacent street. So we're like right at the limit on the Royal Plum Court, and we have plenty of room down by Apple Blossom because that's just barely a bulb. The cul-de-sac length is very short, so we're allowed to do that without going to the ginormous 96 diameter cul-de-sac bulb. So while they are bulbs, they are not technically fire turnaround bulbs. And then, and yes, the wetland is completely contained within the common lot that will be transferred to the Homeowners Association eventually. Or much like the existing common lots that are along the stream area.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioner McMahon?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Did you all get any feedback from any surrounding property owners? I know you're kind of far from anybody right there.
We have not on this phase. Mm-hmm. We had some very testy neighbors on the previous phase, and we worked through to come up with a design that was acceptable to all parties.
That's one of the reasons I was asking the question, because I didn't see anything. I was like, did you talk to them, and what did they say?
The property to the south is currently vacant.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't. You know,
no comments,
the owners have
input.
Not been contacted because they're not local. And I have assembled a street name request or street name change request package, but we had to get one signature from the one existing house that's on Royal Plum. There's only one house that has that address, and we have to get their signature so that we can avoid a public hearing on that. So we're getting in touch with them to get that. Those name changes, because we can't technically do that through the platting process. We have to go through a different process to change the street names. So we've started that process as well.
Okay, I just was checking on where the neighbors were at.
Yes.
Commissioner Galway Jones.
Hi, thanks for coming in.
Yes.
You've got several common lots for bioretention, which I appreciate because it can be a huge problem. My question is, because we had a case not too long ago where a developer was not sensitive to the development phase of what happens with those lots, so I just want to know if you're thinking ahead about that. The issue there was, during construction, everything basically had to be clear cut, all of the greenery gone, so then the runoff wasn't staying in those common lots, and the developer hadn't yet turned them over. So Mike, what are you going to do to manage the runoff, not after you're done building, but while you're doing that?
We're required by both city and state law to do proper erosion and sediment control. So that will be part of our infrastructure plans when we bring the final plat forward. Some of those, phasing is always a little tricky, and we'll do what we can. We're already required under our current 404 permit for the entire subdivision to protect the wetland. So it's been protected through this whole process because there used to be a farm pond above it that we were allowed to drain in an earlier phase. So we already have to do some things there. This is a very rolling topography area, which is part of why I have detention basins in like six different locations, because there was no way to get all the water to go to one place.
Right.
And so we're going to be, none of the drainage areas are particularly large though, which makes it a little bit easier to manage. So we will just be working with our contractor, which is, for the previous two phases, has been Emery Sapp and Sons, and they're very responsive to taking care of the erosion and sediment control and stormwater control for us.
Would it be correct then to say, because the wetland is protected, you can't remove the topsoil from that area?
We can't do anything in that area. We can't touch it.
Right. And are you going to be removing topsoil in the other bioretention areas? Do you know yet? You may not know yet, but
I think because of the way that we'll have to be graded, because we also are getting detention storage above our bioretention, I think the size of the berms will end up, the grading will necessitate the removal of topsoil initially.
But the wetland is protected.
Wetland we can't touch at all.
Can't touch.
It will not.
Not going to be a problem.
Equipment cannot go in that area.
Wonderful. Thank you. I just wanted to get that on the record.
Happy to clarify.
Thank you.
And any other questions, of course.
Any additional questions for the speaker? See none. Thank you. Any additional speakers on this case? Seeing none, we will close public comment, commission comment. Commissioner Galway Jones.
No one else has any comments? I'll make a motion. In the matter of case number 116-2022, I recommend approval of the Forest Hills Plat 3 preliminary plat pursuant to minor technical corrections with comments by the Planning and Law Department.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Galway Jones, seconded by Commissioner Rushing. We have a motion on the floor. Any discussion on this motion? Seeing none, Commissioner Carroll, may we have roll call, please?
Commissioner Galway Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Placer?
Yes.
Commissioner Kimball?
Yes.
My vote is yes. Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
Commissioner Burns?
Yes.
Commissioner Rushing?
Yes.
Commissioner McMahon?
Yes, ma'am.
We have 9 votes to approve. The motion carries.
Thank you. Recommendation for approval will be forwarded to City Council. That concludes our hearings for the evening. Any additional public comment? If there is none, we will move on to see if there are any staff comments.
Should you ever be in suspense that there aren't? Your next meeting is Thursday, April 21st, and it will be a slightly longer agenda. Not much, but just slightly. Your cases for that meeting consist of 2. We have, as Mr. Palmer pointed out, a preliminary plat across the street from the one that we just approved this evening on the larger parcel that had the lake. This would be on the southwest side of Louisville and Smith. It is for a 4-lot development. Preliminary plat, and then you will have a public hearing for 511 Rollins Road. This is a request to go from RMF to PD with a plan. This is actually an existing sorority house that has previously sought Board of Adjustment approval for a series of zoning variances, which were denied. And so the next course of relief for the applicant would be to come before this body as a planned zoning district and seek similar relief through the planned district process. So this is going to be a new one, I think, for the commission in many respects. We do not take many fraternity or sorority house projects back through this process. However, I would also suggest that given some of the unique characteristics of variance requests involving our fraternity and sorority structure reconstructions, this procedure may not be an oddity in the future. Many of the land use related variances that appear at the board are generally self-created due to the fact that reconstruction is normally building a larger structure on the property. And the variance process is generally predicated on the fact that you have other unique characteristics that you can't overcome. And most of our construction, as I have noted with all of our variances that we have taken through the board, generally all share a same common set of general issues. The plan district process is probably more appropriately set up to address those from a holistic perspective of how the use fits into the character of the neighborhood and the surrounding development that has occurred. So that is partially what this project will point out to you. However, it is a plan district. It does have a plan, and it still must meet general plan district plan requirements that the commission has the authority to make recommendation on for city council to consider. So our staff has been working on this. This unfortunately missed an advertising deadline, or this would have been on your last meeting's agenda, and we worked with the applicant to ensure that we could get it on this next planning commission agenda without any impact to their construction schedule. So we will bring this forward to you. It has some interesting components to it, and I think the certain aspects that the commission may appreciate and others that may cause you moments of pause, but I'm sure we can answer those for you. Just so you understand where we're at, again, the southwest corner of Smith and Louisville, that is our future preliminary plat for a four-lot subdivision, and then 511 Rollins Street, the home of an existing sorority that's proposing to reconstruct on that site. Not a full tear down and rebuild, so I'll give you a little just bit of a preview. That's what makes this an interesting project. With that, that's all we have for this evening, and we will continue our conversation on short-term rental. At our next work session, you will have some information provided to you with your packet as it relates to the International Property Maintenance Code, as it relates to occupancy calculations, and we will continue to forge forward with additional use-specific standards that you're wanting to consider. With that, thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you, Mr. Zenner. Commissioner comments. Commissioner McMahon.
I have a request, an admin request. Mr. Zenner, in the future, we may have more situations like we have at Louisville and Smith, and if you could kindly suggest to Mr. Teddy if he could address those parking things first. Because when we get that redevelopment, you know, we have, had it been new, they couldn't put driveways there. You know what I'm saying? So if you could request of Mr. Teddy, if we could just make sure the parking is, are you with me?
I'm following what you're suggesting.
Outstanding. Have a great day. If there are no other questions or comments by my fellow commissioners, I move to adjourn.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Gawe Jones. We are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.